He says, this is Ezekiel. He says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, a vision. This is a vision he had. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on this outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. That's roughly 1,500 feet. And he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and water came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river I could not cross. For the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. One more verse. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. I love that. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. Harvest of souls. For they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. Amen. Amen. Title of my message today is this: The Water's Fine, Come On In. The water's fine. Come on in. Medical science tells us that one of the most important factors pertaining to good health is exercise. You've probably seen the advertisements through the years that says a body in motion stays in motion. And we've laughed at Brandon's experiences at the gym. He's had quite a few over the years and shared those with us. A body in motion stays in motion. That means it is much easier to keep something moving that is already in motion than to start it moving from a stationary position. So they encourage everyone, no matter what age they are, to keep moving. I've shared this with others, but if you ever have a chance to just get with Sister Cherry or Sister Deborah and ask them what is a typical day like for them, I promise you there is no way that you can keep up with these two ladies. Or let's just say I can't. When Brandon and I see Sister Deborah pulling in, we go hide because we know she's up to something when she comes. So, not really. I've heard stories of folks who retired, and when they stopped moving, guess what? Their retirement was short-lived. You have to keep moving in the natural because it really can become life or death, life or death matter with your health. Well, understand something with me, that truth is parallel. And what I mean by that is this: what is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. Momentum is paramount. You must keep moving. Movement is evidence that there is still life in you. And where there is life, guess what? There's going to be hope. And where there is hope, there is still that potential for miracles, signs, and wonders in your life. Hallelujah. So we're looking here then in Ezekiel 47 at this powerful revelation about how a stream became a river. Not because there was more water or because the force of the water changed from God's side, but because of the prophet Ezekiel's proximity. The same thing is true for you and for me. It is by our proximity or our closeness that God's presence and His power and His glory then is experienced and increased in our life and manifested to us and in us and through us. Amen. We should desire to be as close to God as possible. Yes. And I want you to pay special attention to where the river came from. It came out of the temple. The temple represents the place where God lives, and it symbolizes His presence. And notice that everything starts at the door. Jesus is the door into the Father's house and the Father's presence. No man can come to the Father, the Scripture says, except through Jesus Christ. And if you don't come through that door, Jesus said, you are a thief and a robber. And then notice that this river issued or flowed out from the right side of the altar. The altar, then, is that place of surrender, that place of sacrifice. The altar is the place where self, meaning our flesh, is crucified. The altar is where our wills and our plans and our desires must die so that the Christ life, Brother Tony, can be manifested through us. Just as Moses had to remove his shoes from his feet in order to fulfill his assignment, the altar is where we then remove our shoes of personal ambition and self-will so that we can embrace our divine destiny in Christ. To put it bluntly, the altar is that place where the old man dies so the new man in Christ can live. And just like the water came from under the altar, we must live under the weight of the altar on our flesh every single day. Remember Jesus' words from Luke 9:23, and He said unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And here is Paul's word from Galatians 2:20. Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The river of God's presence and power then starts at the altar. And the depth of the work of the cross at the altar determines then the depth and the width and the force and the power of the river that will flow through us. First, it's to us. Then it's in us. And then it is through us. So we find then that the deeper Ezekiel went into the river, the bigger the river got. In other words, the more Ezekiel died, the more the river of God's life could flow through him. The deeper his flesh went down, the stronger the flow of the river. And that is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. There's more for each and every one of us. Understand the life of the believer is a progressive life. It doesn't matter how long you have been saved. It doesn't matter how mature you think you are or how anointed you are. The truth is you have not arrived. And I have not arrived. And guess what? We haven't seen anything yet. Understand with me, there's no place to get comfortable in this progressive life. There's no place to get complacent. And the truth is this morning, the Christian life is not automatic. You have to choose, Sister North, to get up and get moving every morning. You have to choose to let go of the comfortable, let go of the convenient and that familiar thing. You have to choose to boldly and aggressively press and stretch yourself out to go deeper. You have to choose, Brother Tony, to dive into the Word of God and search out those hidden riches that are there. You have to choose to sanctify yourself from the world and live a holy life. Absolutely, there is a life that is to be lived in a holy manner. You have to choose to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you also have to choose to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Well, what does that mean? That means that which prevents you from running your race. Somebody said, Pastor, I'm going through such a hard place right now. It just seems that I'm struggling so much. You've got to understand then, as a child of God, you're going to come through in victory because your Heavenly Father will see to it that you are a victorious person. Yet it also means that you're still in the fight. It means you're not dead yet. It means that you haven't been conquered by the enemy if you're still fighting. It means it's not over for you, and there is still the possibility of you possessing everything that God has promised you. And we all have a lot of promises to still to be fulfilled in our lives. It also means that you're still disturbing hell, or the devil would not be fighting you so hard. So we have to keep moving. Would you look at somebody and say, we got to keep moving? Would you just go ahead and take a moment with me and let's declare this over ourselves. Say this after me. I'm going to see what I've never seen before. I'm going to hear what I've never heard before. I'm going to do what I've never done before. I'm deciding to step out on a new level of anointing. Sickness and disease cannot go where I'm going. Poverty and lack cannot go where I'm going. One more thing. Fear and anxiety cannot go where I'm going. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I tell you this morning that somebody is always watching you? And there's somebody that's waiting for you to get across that river, to come through that valley, to walk out of that fiery furnace, to crawl out of that pit, and then tell them how you did it. And then share with them your testimony of the power of God in your life. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to make it. Because I'm going to keep moving. I'm not stopping. Ezekiel reached the place where it was just too deep to walk anymore. To go any farther, he had to swim. Understand, it's because this is the place that we call transition. So what is that? What is it that happens when you reach that particular place? Understand, this is the place of decision. This is where you're either in, you either enter a new dimension or you decide you're going to settle into a lesser level. Up until this point, you're on your feet. There's a pressure of the flow against you. But as long as you are on your feet, listen, there is a resistance to the river's agenda in your life. The river represents the flow then of the Holy Spirit. And going with the current of the river means that you are surrendered and you are yielded now to the will and to the plan of the Holy Spirit. And did you know then that a lot of Christians will never make this transition? Why do you suppose that is? Because, understand, this is a place where your feet are no longer, sister Nora, deciding the direction of your life. And it's at this place your flesh is under subjection to the Holy Ghost. This is where the Holy Spirit decides when and where and how far and how fast you go. The Holy Spirit decides your stops and your starts. And your only support then, the only thing keeping you now, is the Holy Spirit of a mighty God. That means that you have left the land of logic. That means you have left the land of reasoning. And you're now in that new dimension where your faith alone is keeping you. And my Bible tells me that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. There's no logic to it, Sister Nora. Everything you do now is just what is necessary to stay with the Holy Spirit, and with the flow of the Holy Ghost. And as I said earlier, many people will never make this transition, and here's the reason why. They're so afraid. They don't know what to expect. They're afraid of losing control. And guess what? That happens with so many pastors. They're afraid to lose control. So the Holy Spirit is muffled, so to speak. At this point of transition, something happens. Up until this point, Ezekiel is in the river, and he is experiencing the increasing intensity of the current of the river against him. But he still has control of where he goes, when he goes, and how far he goes. In other words, he still watches what he wants to watch. He listens to what he wants to listen to. He goes where he wants to go without any boundaries. In spite of the increasing intensity of the current of the Spirit upon his being, his feet then are still in charge. But watch this. Once he hits that point of transition, there is no longer any resistance, Brandon. Now he's moving in total harmony with the river. Now his will is swallowed up by the will of the Holy Ghost. And no, God did not overthrow, Brother Tony, his will. Every step that Ezekiel took in that river was a willing participation of losing himself in the river. In other words, the river did not take Ezekiel. Ezekiel gave himself to the river, just like Jesus did when he said, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will." And then we have the Lord's Prayer that says, "Let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Listen, the vision of Ezekiel is a vivid picture of the believer's life. From being converted to being consumed. From being ankle deep to being completely enveloped. Can I be honest and just tell you this morning, ankle deep water is a dangerous place to be very long. Because, watch this, because every problem, every trial, every resistance, every threat of change, and a lot of people hate change, and you want to jump out of the river and jump back onto the bank where you think it's safe. Ankle deep. It's from saved, yet there's still some habits and some hang-ups. It's from saved, yet you're still bouncing back and forth like a fish. In the water, yes, but just barely. The old man is dying, but he's fighting hard. Forgiven, but you're still having some problems forgiving others. Many are like the young man by the name of Eutychus, who fell out of the third story window while Paul happened to be preaching. They're in the house, but they're still in joy looking out the window at what God delivered them from. Understand, that's ankle deep water. And I believe the word that we need to get in our spirit this morning is simply this: keep moving. Keep moving. The life of a believer by its very nature, is a life of movement and progression. And if you ever quit moving and progressing, guess what? You're going to start dying. And watch this now. There's no bottom to the river. To say it another way, it's immeasurable. It's endless. Yet the path then to fullness and the path to the depths of the presence and the glory of God is the path of sacrifice. The Christ life will only manifest through you and me to the degree of the death to the self life. Death to our fleshly habits. Every step into the river is a step into greater sacrifice and to self-denial. And as the flesh disappears through sacrifice, watch this, the Holy Spirit gains more pull and more influence over your life, to where when people now look at you, they begin to see Jesus in you. And through you. And this morning, New Life Family is who I'm talking to. Would you determine anew with me to keep walking and to keep moving? Listen, because when you do, as you walk, guess what's going to happen? You begin to forget what was ever behind you. That's no longer important. You don't dwell on the past. And you're going to find yourself then reaching for and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? I'm so glad you ask. It's simply this. First, it is to possess Him, and then it's to be possessed by Him. And then to be able to know that you're going to be able to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. It's to be completely submerged in Him until it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me, is what Paul said. And that's where I want to stay. Determined with me again this morning that today you're going to keep moving forward. There's really no place to stop. You've got to understand that. There's nothing to look back to. There's nothing to go back to. Yes, this river is deep. And yes, this river is wide. But you have to choose to move out into the river and move with the flow of the Holy Ghost. Can you determine with me? It doesn't matter how rough. It doesn't matter how dark or how deep or how wide it is or how crazy we may look or how crazy we may feel at times. We're just going to keep moving, Sister Nora. I'm going to keep going. It don't matter. I will walk. I will crawl if I have to. I will run. And yes, I will swim. But there's one thing I will not do. I will not quit. I will not sit down. I will not sit and dry up on the vine. I'm going to keep moving. Why? Because my life depends on it. A body in motion stays in motion. My future depends on it. And yes, somebody else's life may depend on me moving. My family's may depend on me moving. And this morning, I know I can't force you to move on. I can't force you to go deeper with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? No one can force me. But it's a choice that we all have to make. You can settle for less or you can go for the deep water. And if you make that step, listen, to go to the deep waters of the Spirit, just know that there's no one that can stop you, not even the devil himself. Determine with me again that we're going for all that God has for us. That we're going to keep moving. Why? Because our lives really do depend on that. I love Psalms chapter 107, verses 23 and 24. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, watch this. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Let me end with this morning. Sister Reith, come on back up. Many years ago, there was a visitation of the Spirit and glory of God that swept this nation. And they called it the charismatic renewal. The Holy Ghost, listen, was jumping every boundary, every tradition, and every denomination. He was filling the Catholics, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, and the Methodists. It was a great outpouring and manifestation of the power and the glory of God. But can I just tell you something this morning? I've come to believe that that was just a sample, Sister Linda, a taste. It was a tip of the iceberg of what is getting ready to hit the nations of the earth. And in fact, it has already started. Everything that the devil has done to beat us down, to push us down, to oppress us, to rob us and demoralize us and humiliate the people of the nations of the earth, listen, it's going to backfire on him. And it's going to be a catalyst then that is going, Brandon, to ignite a worldwide revival and reformation. History is going to record this time as the most critical and pivotal time in history of our nation, I do believe. Because this time is going to be known as the time of turning and that last great awakening. And the devil, guess what? He's going to realize that he pushed just too hard, Brother Tony, and that he put too much pressure upon the people. But it's going to be too late for him because the match has already been lit. The match has already been lit. And the fire, guess what? It's getting bigger and brighter and hotter all the time. And I'm not going any longer to say what we've said for 50 years or 75 years. I'm not going to say any longer, and you determine you're not going to do this either. Revival is coming. No, revival is here. Revival is here. It's just up to us to step into the river. The Spirit of God is being poured out. And guess what? No crooked politician, no wicked dictator can stop the glory of God from filling the whole earth. God will have His way, and He's going to have His last word. And the nations of the earth will recognize the one true God. And multitudes will accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And guess what? The church will come. The church will come back to walking with God in purity and in power. And I believe holiness and the fear of God will once again be the earmarks of the true church in the latter days. And the glory of the Lord will be seen once again in and through His church. Remember, His word tells us He's coming back for what? A spotless bride. A church moving in power with their lamps burning bright. Why? Because they're full of oil. I don't believe that there is any believer who disagrees with the fact that we are living in the last days. That should really then encourage and excite us because the Holy Spirit emphasizes to us that the last days then are going to be a great outpouring and manifestation of the glory and the power of God. And so this then, watch this, this then is one of our greatest battles right now. And that is staying focused on what God is doing. Guess what? It seems like the devil is off the rails. And he most likely he is. It looks like the devil is progressing on every side, and it is. And the devil wants our attention, guess what? Focused on him. He already has the media preaching that demonic message of hopelessness and fear on every side and every turn. So guess what? It's up to us. Would you look at your neighbor and say, it's up to us to hear what God is saying and then amplify that and magnify the good news of the gospel. Until God gets so big in our thoughts and in our actions that the devil disappears. He's no longer at the forefront of our thought and our mind. Understand with me, it is a waste of our time and our energy to focus on what the devil is doing and all of his work. Don't give him any credit. That sweet little lady, the devil's been after me all day. Praise his holy name. No. She didn't realize what she was saying. The devil is like a spoiled kid who will do anything to get our attention. Amen. But the only intention, guess what, that we're going to give him in this day, right now, is enough to put him under our feet. He's under our feet. He already is. The river of revival is here. It's not on God's time clock for someday in the sweet by and by. The river is here now. The glory is here. Revival is here. And these are the last days. These are the days of the signs and wonders and miracles. And just like the prophet Joel wrote about, I'm hurrying. I'm glad you're up here. Just like the prophet Joel wrote about, these are the days of our sons and our daughters prophesying, and our young men seeing visions, and our old men dreaming dreams. There's no question whether the river is here or not. The only question now, watch this, the only question is, will you get in? Will you get in? Or will you stay on the bank and let it just flow right on by you? The river's here. The river of Ezekiel 47. Guess what? Is the same river of Acts chapter 2. The river started flowing on the day of Pentecost and when the Spirit was poured out. And that river is still here and is still flowing. It hasn't made a U-turn. It hasn't diminished in force and power. It just has to have a clean heart to flow through. I didn't say perfect heart. I said a clean heart. My prayer now, almost daily, and it has been for a long time, Holy Ghost, purify me, cleanse me, wash me, make me a vessel that you can flow through. I'm really closing. Number two, I'm closing. Let me say one more thing. One translation says, what Ezekiel saw first was water flowing as a stream. And then a great river, yet they were the same. In other words, what Ezekiel saw as a stream was also a river. The only thing that changed was his proximity. He went from spectator to participator. When Ezekiel started then wading out into the water, his proximity changed, Brandon. And then his perception changed, Brother Tony. He was now all in. So I'm here to tell somebody, the river's here and the water's fine. All you've got to do is come on in. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. 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 Ministry team, would you come on down? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's so much more in that chapter we could unpack. Oh my gosh. I encourage you to go back to it. Go back to it. Read it some more. Read it in every translation you can find. Chew on it. Dwell on it. Whew. Hallelujah. Let's determine we're not going to stay ankle deep. Because I don't want to be in that place when trouble comes that I'm apt to want to jump back on the bank where I think it's safe. Because that only means it's not going to get any better. Those things are going to follow you. They're going to follow you on the bank. But when you're in the river, it doesn't mean that things are going to still... Yeah, there's going to be a flat tire occasionally. I'm going to still lose my keys sometimes. I'm not declaring that. I'm trying to got me a little bowl finally after hearing some of y'all talk. I got me a little bowl. I put it in. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good, y'all. Stay hungry. Stay thirsty. Stay in the river. That's what we're going to do Saturday night, 6:00. Come. come just soak. Come swim a while in the river. Let the Holy Ghost do His work in your life. Let the Holy Ghost do a work in you this week. Listen, He'll change things for you. If you're dealing with some things at work, listen, if it's on your part, He'll show you how to do things better, smarter. Yes, we may think we know what we're doing, but I'm telling you, when you ask the Holy Ghost, what am I doing wrong? Why does it seem it's not coming together? Why does it seem it's so many things is so slow? Ask the Holy Ghost. He'll show you what you might need to correct in your own life. And He does it so gentle to us. He doesn't come just jerking you around. He said, this is what you ought to do. You'll get up one morning, you'll know exactly what you need to change. What if it's somebody you're dealing with at work? You're all out. Oh, God, you got to get them. You got to get them. And it may not be them. It might be you. What do I need to change? Do I need to do this? He'll show you. He'll tell you. Believe me, if you ask, He's going to tell you. And He don't hold back. He just does it in a kind way. But what happens if we get out there and we don't pay attention to it? You fall off in that hole, guess what? He's going to let you fall off in that hole because you didn't listen to Him. I want to be obedient to His voice. I promise you can be victorious. You can be successful. That's what He's called us to be. He didn't call us to be settlers, Sister Norm. I don't want to settle for less. He'll move you to the next level. He'll give you that promotion that was in set for somebody else. He'll give you favor. I promise you He'll do it. Stay in the river. Get in the river. That simply means you want more of Him. You want more of Him. Lord, I'm hungry for more. I'm going to read that extra chapter this morning. I'm going to stay 5 minutes more with You, Lord. Just do a little more every day. A little more every day. Until, guess what? You're going to be so hungry for the Word. You're going to read it morning, noon, and night. You're going to chew on it morning, noon, and night. You're going to stay in His presence morning, noon, and night. Oh, my goodness. God's so good. God's so good. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for the river of the Holy Spirit that moves in our lives. Lord, we can go as deep as we want, as high as we want. Oh, the table is spread. The banquet table is open for us to partake of. So, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for each person here today, every family member, every family unit. I thank You today. Speak to our hearts. Draw us close to You. Oh, Lord, renew that passion. Lord, if it's dwindled in our lives, Lord, renew the passion in our hearts for You and for more of You. And if we've not had a passion, Lord, if all we've had is just a little ember, Lord, then blow Your Spirit upon that ember. Let it become a burning flame for You. Fill us to overflowing. Help us to walk and overflow, Lord, in every area of our life. You promised, God. You said You would do it. You'd give us the desires of our heart. Lord, I want my heart to be what You want. I want the beat of my heart to be what Your heart is beating for. I thank You today. I speak blessings over this body of people. Bring us back Wednesday night, the appointed time. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, we're right here to pray with you. We're right here to pray with you.